We started this series, and it was perfect peace last week out of Isaiah 26, 1 through 4, and we didn't get to finish it. Imagine that. Pastor didn't get to finish it. So I'm going to finish part 2 today, and I hope you enjoy it. Isaiah 26, verse 4 continued, the condition of peace. So it says, God will keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on the Lord. And it goes on to say, those who will trust in the Lord, our God. So it is a powerful verses of scripture that I think we tried to begin, give you an intro last week, but we want to finish it up today. And we left off saying that it's perfect peace. And we defined peace as shalom. And then the word perfect was, you know, Isaiah, instead of using it as an adjective, he just says, shalom, shalom, it's perfect peace. And perfect is a powerful adjective for the peace of God, isn't it? Anybody here grateful for the peace of God? In a world where there's no peace, as Israel attacked on Iran, and there's war over there, there's war over in Russia and Ukraine, there is war on the streets of America. I mean, no, in a couple of weeks, we need to pray through and ask God for a miracle in America. God help us to restore order and life back to this country. But he added the word perfect here, and it's the same word for peace. It says perfect peace is literally shalom, shalom. In other words, Isaiah doesn't just use the adjective to describe God's peace. He simply repeats, like, peace, peace, you know? And he said, I've told you before that Jesus said, my peace I will give you. John 16, remember? Not as the world gives, give I unto you. So this is not the peace the world looked for. They're looking for peace in all the wrong places. They're looking for love in all the wrong places. They're looking for joy and happiness in all the wrong places. How many know what you need to fulfill your life, to get you on the track with God, is the peace of God. And the only way to get the peace of God is to know the God of peace. And so that's where we were, and that's where we left off. And basically, he repeats it. And I told you many times in Scripture, when a word is repeated, peace, peace, or at the end of verse 4, God, God, we'll look at that in just a few minutes. When a word is repeated in the Scripture, it's like God putting an exclamation point. Boom. It's for emphasis, to let you know, this is super important. This is not ordinary peace. This is not peace you can buy. No, you can't. You don't have enough money to buy peace. Money can buy you a bed, but it won't give you a night's rest. Only the peace of God can give you peace, right, and rest. And so it's peace on top of peace is those who have their minds on him. So we move into the thought of the last thought of last week was the condition of the promise of peace. And we know that many of God's promises come with certain conditions. So we love the promises of God. We love to teach the promises of God, talk about the promises of God. What we do not like is the conditions that come with the promises. It must not be loud enough, Brother Mike. We don't like the conditions that come with the promises. Let me just give you an example there. It's found in 2 Samuel 7:14. If my people called by my name will, and here are the conditions, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways. There's four conditions. And here comes the promises of God. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. How many know that's what we need in America right now? If my people will humble themselves, that is the condition. It's arrogance and self-confidence that will nullify and just forfeit any peace. I mean, if you're confident in yourself, then you're going to be burned out, stressed out, and messed up. But if you'll put your confidence in the strong arm of God, I mean, he can give you peace. He can give you peace. So Isaiah here is saying, we find the condition, those who will keep him in perfect peace, he said, whose mind is stayed on the Lord. So it's a double dose of peace, peace, peace. Perfect peace. And it comes when we discipline our minds to stay focused, stay centered on God. because a worried mind, we talked a little bit about last week, a worried mind, an anxious mind, does not make room for peace. You can't have anxiety and peace in the same mind. One or the other has to go. Can somebody say amen? That's just what he's trying to reflect here. You can never have perfect rest or peace with an anxious, worried mind. So the word mind refers to a mindset or a frame of mind. What is framing your mind? What is your mind set on? And remember last week we said whatever you put into your mind is what's going to come through your mind out of your mouth, usually. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? And so it's what you put in you is going to determine your stability. And if you're just putting a bunch of junk food in, when the wind blows and the storms come, you won't have the stability of mind, the stable mind that you need to function. Fear will come, anxiety will come, worry will come instead of peace and rest. And so the mind, and then the word stayed, his mind has stayed on God, means to lay on or to lean on or to hold on to like a galloping horse. How many ever rode a galloping horse? None of you? Come on, where's my country people? Yeah, I remember it's been a long time since I rode a galloping horse. But I had one get away from me one time, and I just could hardly hold on until the manager at Walmart came and unplugged it. But it's hard to ride a horse sometimes. But I can tell you that if you're leaning on, like holding on for dear life. I remember when I was about 10 years old, my brother and I rode in the rodeos, and so we did the barrels. My brother would ride the horse, and I'd stand on the barrel, about 10 years old. I'd stand on the barrel. Here he comes. He's galloping that horse. He comes around the barrel. I jump on the back of the horse with my brother, and he goes in, and we won many a race, right? But I want to tell you that this word, stayed, is what I'm talking about. I held on until I, like, pretty much bruised his side, right? I was holding on for dear life. My legs are flying back behind me. That's what Isaiah is talking about. Those of you who have perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on the Lord. I mean, a firm grip, laying hold of or leaning on like a strong wall to support you, giving your full weight on something. So how much are you leaning on the Lord? How much are you focusing on the centrality of Christ in your life? Believers keep getting all caught up in their current problems instead of intentionally holding on and putting their mind and setting their purpose and their mind on the Lord. How many know it makes a difference what you lay hold of? You're going to trust something. And whatever you trust, that should be like promoting peace or bringing rest. And if you put your trust in material things, if you put your trust in the world system, if you put your trust in the education system, how many know if you put your trust in the government system, you may not have much peace. So when you're anxious, you're literally wasting today's time and cluttering up tomorrow's opportunity. You're not getting it because yesterday's troubles are already, you know, gone, and you're worrying about things that are not yet done. Worry is basically the interest you pay for something that never even happened yet. And so the word anxious, it literally means to divide or distract the mind and draws a troubled person in different directions. If you're anxious, your heart wants to trust God. It wants to depend on God. But then you have the tendency to put your confidence in things that you're familiar with, things that you think are going to work. Can I tell you? Drugs and alcohol will not give you peace of mind. Not this kind of peace. You might get a buzz, but how many know sooner or later a little buzz will wear off? And people are drinking themselves into oblivion, smoking themselves into death. And God wants us to know that he's got something far greater. Amen? His peace that he can give you, is greater than the peace the world is trying to get. And so James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You have to choose. You have to choose. Remember last week? I said you have to choose worry or worship, but you can't choose both. How many here at Oak Grove today choose worship? Man, if you want to find your way out of a stressful mindset that's causing you sleeplessness and anxiety and ulcers and whatever, put your mind on the Lord and leave it there. Stay on the Lord. Keep your mind focused on the Lord. And the waves that come by, they will not alter you or confuse you. You cannot stop the bird from landing on your head, but you can stop it from making a nest in your hair, if you have hair. Okay, some of us, God made perfect heads. The rest, he covered with hair. God bless you. God bless you. I know you love it. I know you love it. Worry or worship, you can't have both. Jesus never advocates for the church to be stressed. 21:34. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and look at this, and the cares of this life. Some people are so focused on, oh man, getting everything they can and canning everything they get. There's only 24 hours in a day, and the world's just going running, chasing the rat race. And that day comes upon you unexpectedly. Like Job said, the thing I've feared the most has suddenly come upon me. And you might get by with a worried day, but a worried week, a worried month, a worried year, a worried lifestyle will end up harming you. Is anybody hearing the preacher? So it's the anxieties of life. Dissipation. The word dissipation means the wasting of money, the wasting of energy, the wasting of resources. In other words, you have no energy left because you worried yourself sick. You have no peace. You have no stability when you spend your mind on anxious thoughts. It weighs you down and wears you down and causes you to sink spiritually into depression. Never seen a day where so many Christians are struggling with mental thoughts and mental anguish. I'm not talking about disorders. Those can be biological disorders that can be real. Those are real. How many know even Christians struggle with emotional and mental disorders? Believers. Now, back in the day, people thought that was taboo. But how many know it affects a lot of people today? And it's not something that we should be open and we should be trusting God to bring healing to our emotions, to our minds, to our relationships, to our mental capacities, to our everything. How many know God wants perfect peace? God wants shalom, shalom. He wants you to be peace at peace in all areas of your life, body, mind, and spirit. Amen? So you have the energy is wasted and zapped out of you, and a worried mind can actually strangle you emotionally and mentally and even spiritually, and it can have an effect upon you physically. And I tell you that this series came on my heart because since 2020 and all of the anguish and all of the worldwide chaos, it seems as though anxiety just shot up a whole nother level. And the things that our children in school are dealing with, the pressures on our parents and our families and our children, it just rises up, and we need a remedy. How many know the remedy is Jesus? The condition for a peaceful mind is a mind that is stayed on the Lord. And so he says we got to trust the Lord. The other condition we must have is to keep perfect peace is to trust God for today and forever. Jesus said, hey, take no thought about tomorrow. Today is sufficient enough to worry about, right? Take care of today. Take care of today. Don't worry about what you eat or drink or wear. He said, take a look at the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. They don't worry and toil and stay up all night and pop pills. And yet your Heavenly Father loves them. Amen? How many know the Lord loves you? You are kept by God. You are all those things we just saw in the video. Wasn't that powerful? That's who we are. We are God's kids. We are His people. And He cares. How many know the Father cares for us today? And so trust in the Lord forever, it says, forever. And for in God the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. God has designed us at creation to be dependent upon Him. We trust Him. Why? Because He is trustworthy. Come on, I wish somebody would help me out here. He is trustworthy. You can trust, of all the people and things in this world you can trust. How many know God should have number one priority? You ought to be able to trust the Word of God. You ought to be able to trust the God of the Word. Amen? Because He's real. How many believe the Lord is real? And He rewards those who diligently seek Him. You got to believe. So He's trustworthy. And as we trust Him, He provides peace for us. That's basically how simple this sermon is. I almost am embarrassed a little bit to preach such a simple sermon. But it's so simple to me, it's absolutely mind-blowing. If you'll keep your mind focused on the Lord, as Peter, when he was walking on water at one moment, he's on top of the world, takes his eyes off of Jesus, and for that split second, crash and burn. That's how imperative it is. You can't have a part-time relationship with God. You can't trust Him on Sunday and fret all week long. Doesn't work that way. So trust is tied to direction. We trust, He directs. Hey, this has to do with the submission to the Lord's control in your life. You got to know who's controlling your life. Who's in the driver's seat? You trust Him, He directs your path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, right? Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. You can't both be in charge. One or the other has to relinquish. If you take control, the Lord is going to be kindly back up. But if you will relinquish control, how many know the Lord will step up, and He will be faithful to direct you. And when we follow His will and His word and His ways, when we keep our minds stayed on Him, He directs our pathway of peace, and we have both peace with God and the peace of God. We have peace with God, that's reconciliation. How many glad that Jesus made a way? He is the Prince of Peace. He is the wall of partition was between us, but Jesus broke down that wall of partition and made a way for you and I to have reconciliation with God. He is our peace. He is our peace. Emmanuel, He's God with us, and He is the peace of God. And so He's the Prince of Peace, but most importantly, the God of peace. The God of peace. If you will trust Him, the God of peace will be with you. You hear Paul say that on many occasions in his writings. So the God of peace will be with you. And that's personal, very intimate. If you're going to have this kind of peace, perfect peace, it's going to have to start with a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then none of this is going to make sense at all, okay? But we must keep our mind willing to focus on Jesus, and He will give us everlasting strength. I could use some strength. How many of you could use some strength? Come on, I mean, it's strength for today, strength for tomorrow, strength for next month. Strength for next year. Every day, I could use more of His strength. I can't make it in my own strength. I need Him. And so trust is not a one-time decision at salvation. I trusted Jesus at the altar when I was a kid. Well, that's good. How many know that's a good place to start? But it's not the place to end. You have to trust Him all the way to the finish line. Yeah, the writer of Hebrews talks about it. We're running a race, and the race is not over until Jesus comes to get us. Amen? So it says that we run this race with diligence, with patience, right? As Jesus said, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is set down at the right hand of the Lord. He knew what His mission was to complete the mission, finish the race. And He said, there's so many times when you're running that you need to do is you need to lay aside every sin, one, and weight, two, that easily besets you. In other words, that's King James, but he's basically saying is that you need to lay aside things that will steal your peace, destroy your faith, take your joy, keep your love from loving, right? And you can't have peace, joy, or love without having His joy and His peace and His love. Can't do it in our own strength. Is anybody getting any of this? So there's just a starting point when you make a decision for Christ at salvation. We must trust Him forever, perpetually, permanently, continually. Remember how Ephesians 5:18 talks about being filled with the Spirit? And it says, it says, be ye filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine as where is in this excessive becoming drunkards. But be filled with the Spirit, right? Be filled with the Spirit so you can know what the mind and the will of God is. You got to know that this is a continually being filled with the Spirit. It's the same thing here. If you want peace to come and stay, then you have to keep your mind on God so you can have a continual, perpetual, permanent peace. How many like to have a peace that stays with you all the way to the end? It's not peace that's conditional. It's conditional upon you staying on your mind on God, but it's not conditioned upon the stresses of life. Here's what I found. You cannot avoid the stresses of life. Unavoidable. I don't care how much money you got. In fact, more money, more stress. Bigger house, more problems. More kids, more problems. More children, more church, bigger church. How beautiful it is. More hot water heaters go out. More air conditions go out. More refrigerators go out. Is anybody hearing me? Money's not going to be able to buy peace, and it's not going to stop turmoil. Jesus said in that John 16 verse, said, hey, in this world you're going to have lots of trouble, but be of good cheer. Take confidence. Lay hold and trust in me, for I have overcome the world. That's the promise. And the condition is to just trust in the Lord. We sometimes, what we do, instead of trusting, is we try. So hard. It makes sense, because it seems like it's our duty to try. It's in our strength. I can do this. I got this. Anybody ever say that? I got this. And it's commendable that you should try. But I mean, no, greater than trying is trusting. Greater than running and running and running and striving is just resting. And in Pentecostal circles, many times a church doesn't know how to rest. I'm talking to the choir. I met the enemy, and it is I. I have to take a vacation to go on vacation and permanently say that this is a vacation for me to rest. In other words, I got to put it on the calendar and say, I'm going to rest. Mister, you're going to rest. And if you don't put it on the calendar, it doesn't happen. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That's why many, many leaders and ministers and people are burned out. Never have I seen a day where people are more stressed out, burned out, than today. You have to manage your time, and you have to manage your mind. So even if you're busy, 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 you know what you have to do. You have 24 hours in a day just like anybody else. So how do you manage that 24 hours? You have the same Bible as everybody else. Are you making time with the Lord? How much time are you in the presence of the Lord each week so that you can find peace with God and of God and have a rest? So if you don't learn to stay your mind on God and trust Him always, you will wear yourself sick. You will wear yourself silly into oblivion. You will harm yourself. And all the while thinking you're doing good. I'm doing everything I can. I don't know what's happening. I'm doing everything I can. I feel like a hamster in a cage. Anybody been there? That's called a rat race. It's another name for a cute hamster, is a rat. You know, I ate rat when I was in Thailand. It's delicious. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. The rat we ate, Jake, the rat we ate didn't come from the sewer. It came from grain-fed rat. Really nice rat, like they serve at McDonald's. Good rat. Teasing. If you work at McDonald's, it was just a joke. But basically, God wants us to be dependent upon Him. And not only that, God wants to be faithful to us forever. He doesn't want to just save you. He wants to keep you. He didn't just take you from this world of sin. He wants to have you through this world of sin. He wants to preserve you and keep you and bless you and direct you and guide you and lead you, to keep you stable in your mind, the self-existent, unlimited, unchanging God who can be trusted. He will keep His promise. How many believe God keeps his promises? He will keep his promise. All you and I have to do is keep our commitment. So quit trembling every time there's trouble. You know, this weekend, just keeping it real, we had a pipe leak in our basement, and that's what everybody has said every now and then. Call the plumber. Thank God. Here they come. And they always write a little ticket and give you an offering at the end for a donation. And so we got it all settled. It was okay. Melissa and I said, it's just a leak. It's just a leak. No problem. Until the next morning, Jerry wakes me up, said, hey, there's another leak here in the basement on the other side of the pipe. And I'm thinking, one leak is one thing. Two leaks is another. Three leaks, shoot me. Anybody ever been there? It's like, how many leaks can a person have in one day? Even the plumber felt sorry for me. And he's making money. But we don't tremble every time there's trouble. Here's where growth can come. When you have trials or troubles, you have two things happening. One, yes, you can feel some grief for going through it. But the other thing is God wants to use it to grow your faith. He wants to help temper you and guide you and mold you and shape you into the person that he wants you to be. He wants you at perfect peace. He don't want you worried about it. And the fact of the matter is, every pipe sooner or later is going to bust. And this world is convulsing. Can I just be real with you? This whole world right now is convulsing. Like a volcanic explosion is about to go off. How many know it's going to happen inevitably? But it's not for the church to be panicked and worried. It's for the church to be faithful and strong and not fearful and weak, right? So don't tremble when there's trouble. Quit worrying and start worshiping. I know it may sound kind of crazy to say, thank you for my water leak. I don't think we need to thank God for the trouble, but we do need to thank God in the trouble. Are you hearing that? When it gets closer to Thanksgiving, I want to talk about contentment a little bit more, because when it comes this time of the year, we need to guard our hearts and minds, because from there come the issues of life. The life comes and starts bringing all kinds of chaos, and you got to keep your mind strong and stable. You've got to manage it. You've got to actually take authority over your mind. Your mind can never take authority over your spirit, or you'll never find rest. Because rest comes from the Holy Spirit. Amen? Peace comes from the Lord. So the self-existent God is able to do that for you.